Hi everyone, and thank you for joining us again on the Lit Radio podcast. I'm your host, Thea. Today, I'm joined by Matthew Butler Adam and Yusuf Amir to talk about their book, Cracking Corporate, Building a Career That You Can Be Proud Of. Matt is a regional managing director at Duke Corporate Education in the UK. He was previously a mergers and acquisitions manager at Deloitte and a consultant at Bain & Company. Yusuf is an associate director in mergers and acquisitions at Deloitte Australia. He previously ran a consulting business of his own and was the head of strategy and business development at Caltex Northwest. Cracking Corporate offers valuable lessons in choosing career options and tackling the different challenges at each stage in your career. The offers provide insightful advice on thinking about your purpose in life, planning your education, becoming an expert in a particular field, developing your network of contacts, handling difficult people and situations, and using good ethical principles. Thank you very much for joining me, Matt and Yusuf, for today on Lit Radio podcast. I'm very excited to speak with you about your book, Cracking Corporate. And my first question to you is, why did you decide to write that book?
Oh, thank you, Thea. It's great to be with you today. Maybe to start off, you know, Yusuf and I worked together a couple of years back. And on our lunch breaks, we took the opportunity to go for short walks together, just to talk about how things were going and what we saw around us in corporate settings. And one of the things that seems to constantly come up was just the different starting point that many people had when they entered new organizations. And part of that conversation was us acknowledging that there's a distinction between, I don't know, someone's smart, their ability, their likely success in the future. And on the other hand, just having access to a fair starting point and access to the right information at the right time. And I guess, you know, what I'm really describing is a principle around equity. And because we thought, especially in the market in which we were working, which is obviously South Africa, that starting point was very different. For people who were entering big organizations, corporate, that it was worth thinking about a constructive way to address it. And so I think that was probably the inspiration of the book. But Yusuf, I don't know if that reflects our conversations and our philosophy from the outset.
I mean, I think that appropriately encapsulates those rather romantic walks that we used to take, Matt. But I mean, it definitely served as, you know, the genesis for this venture. And, you know, I think along those conversations that we used to have, it helped me reflect back on my own career and some of the challenges that I had to navigate along the way. And I thought, you know, there's an opportunity there to craft a story around that, and to Matt's point, to hopefully help those that don't have a fair start and are not starting off from the same line that many others in South Africa had the opportunity to start from, to perhaps, you know, get an edge of some sort and maybe have some kind of a guidebook or a handbook that could potentially help them get on with things a little bit more productively. And I think, you know, just beyond that as well, South Africa, unfortunately, is fraught with all sorts of issues, crime and corruption and the like. And there's a lot of complaining that goes on. And I think this was an opportunity for us to create a meaningful difference in some small way. And perhaps on the last point that I would like to mention is it was an opportunity to maybe create a bit of a platform as well, and hopefully build on this platform and use it to make a more meaningful difference as we progress.
And maybe one other point that I was just reflecting on actually was, you know, in our conversations, we were certainly aware of different starting points. And different challenges that people were facing. But I think there were also gaps in our knowledge and our understanding that related to our background. And so I think the project was also a really good opportunity for us to learn from other people. And that's part of why, you know, we start actually by interviewing people who have had different backgrounds, but have been, you know, built really successful careers. And also while we've surveyed people, because I think a part of the project was also helping us understand some of the things we were seeing playing out, but maybe things that we weren't, you know, fully aware of or fully cognizant of.
Yeah, amazing. So in the book, you give different tips and guidance for people on how to get the corporate job and how to navigate it successfully. So let's now look at the different chapters that you have in the book. And the first one is about being organized. So why being organized is so important for your corporate career, and how can you get more organized? Mats, I read in the book that your life is organized into three categories, so probably you would be the best person here to answer that question.
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, you know, on the one hand, there's probably a way of living your life that's kind of extremely structured, you know, that you might describe people who operate like that as very A-type. Sometimes they might even have attributes of obsessive compulsive disorder, which I've sometimes described myself as having. And then on the other hand, a sort of laissez-faire, take it as it comes, you know, just live each day as it is and sort of see what happens. And I don't think that you have to sort of opt into one of those sides of the spectrum and sort of commit to that for the rest of your life. I've definitely had phases of different areas of focus. And I've probably had times where I actually felt as though I didn't want to be too structured. I almost wanted to appear to be quite carefree, nonchalant. And, you know, if any success comes to me, that this would just be the result of me being really good and not having been too deliberate. But what I realized with a bit of time is that I actually needed structure and ended up benefiting significantly from having some structure. And all that really meant for me was having a couple categories and using those to prioritize sort of goals each year or maybe 5 years in advance. And I talk about these three categories that are relevant for me. You know, and the first of those is about, I don't know, everything related to my personal life, my family and my friends and my health. There's a second category about learning new things, about reading, about education. And there's a third category about sort of my career and building something around me that I'm really proud of from the work I do. Different people might have different ways of categorizing things. I know that there are other structures out there that, you know, they have like the 10 attributes of life. And I'm probably a little weak on some of the areas around, I don't know, spirituality. And those might be differentially important to others. But I think the point is that there's not a single structure or a single way of doing things that's right, but that it's beneficial to have a couple categories and to use those to create goals for yourself and to make sure that these goals, like many others will say, are, you know, measurable, that they're sort of time-bound, and that it's a useful way, you know, to sort of energize and motivate you to work on things. So, yeah, I think that's the point of it. It's not to be too prescriptive, but to say, get yourself organized, set yourself a couple of goals, and then be ruthless about going after it. Maybe a final thing I would say on it, and this is just on a personal level, I honestly find the world around us really chaotic and difficult and complex. And the type of news we see and the pressures on climate and the economy and, you know, continued inequality around the world, I find difficult to engage with. And when I find myself in those times of feeling anxious or feeling chaotic, just having a very simple framework, even if it's not perfect, actually helped me rebalance myself and re-energize myself. And so I think it's especially relevant in today's age where there's so much chaos and complexity. If you've got something simple to go back to help you organize your life, I think it gives you an advantage.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you that being organized is really essential when it comes to landing a corporate career or achieving anything else, really. But when it comes to corporate career, probably many of our listeners now are thinking about their education. And in the book, you argue that in order to succeed in the corporate world, you need to invest in yourself and more specifically in your education. But how do we choose the right kind of education? And also, what types of degree we should go for? Is bachelor's enough or we should go further? So again here, Mats, what's your perspective on this?
Great. Yeah, I think it's a really good point. And, you know, it's a educational investment decisions are difficult to get right. They're typically expensive. And, you know, it varies depending on where you are in the world. You know, there are parts of the world where it's really state-sponsored. And so it's not a huge investment decision, but there are still a large number of parts of the world where you have to make a big financial commitment and very often actually go into some debt to get a good education. It's important and it has outcomes for your career and the rest of your life. The first thing we actually did was set up a survey with professionals in our network, and we surveyed more than 50 professionals who were in successful corporate positions. And one of the questions we asked is, looking back and looking at younger people today, whether or not they thought people had the right information to make an optimal education decision. And overwhelmingly, something like 90% of the respondents said they didn't believe that young people had all the information they needed to make the best decision for their education and for their careers. So I think there's definitely missing information. At the same time, I don't think there's an exact formula, and that's what makes it a little bit difficult. So what you really have to do are think about some principles. So the first one I would say, the first important principle is pick something, pick a degree or pick an educational program that's linked to a career or an outcome that you'd like to achieve. So, you know, for example, if you know at the young age that you'd like to be a lawyer, it's probably a good decision to do a degree focused on law. Or if you know you'd like to be in finance, it's probably a good decision to pick a degree that's got a large component of finance. That sounds really obvious. I think the trick is knowing what you'd like to be and then picking a degree that's associated with that career. But, and this is the second point, even if you know what you want to do, I think it's really important, and this is in particular the transition from secondary or high school to tertiary or higher education, university, college, whatever market you're in, that you need to be broad. So it's really important still, even if you've got a area of focus, that you get exposure to all sorts of different disciplines, because the type of skills that you'll pick up from other disciplines are going to help you along the line, especially in a market where there is a lot of change and you'll sometimes have to rely on different skill sets to overcome certain challenges. And then I think the third and final thing is just to say, even if you aren't sure what you want to do and you decide to be a little bit broad, pick something that genuinely interests you. A big part, I think, of getting educational decisions right is picking stuff that you find interesting. You're much more likely to achieve good grades and to pass your degree if you've picked an area that is actually of some interest and to you, or that you have some passion about. In the book, we speak a little bit more about some specific degree choices and the distinction between different postgraduate programs, masters, and whether or not PhDs or DBAs are useful when you're building out a corporate career, but I'm not going to go into those details here. Because I think the real answer is actually about the principles you use to make these decisions.
Absolutely. And thank you for sharing those tips. And yeah, as you mentioned, there is a lot of more insights in the book, which I would urge anyone who wants to get into a corporate career to read. But then after the chapter about education in the book, there comes a chapter that's titled Become an Expert. So what does it mean to become an expert? How important is it? And how can you achieve it? So Yusuf, what is your take on that?
Taya, I actually think that, you know, becoming an expert is not perhaps as popular and as important as it used to be. But at the same time, you know, I would caution people not to give it appropriate importance as well. What I mean by that is, in the past, you know, specialized skills like becoming an accountant or becoming a lawyer or becoming a doctor, you know, these sort of like professions were highly aspirational. And whilst they obviously still have their place in the professional world, there is definitely a shift toward a more generalized skill set. And from my perspective, perhaps I have a bit of a bias towards that because, you know, for the most part of my 15 to 17 year career now, I've actually, you know, really tried different things and has given me a broader skill set. And I'm only very recently getting to a point of specialization. So, I mean, I think in a nutshell, it's important to understand really at the outset what you're good at. And yes, if you figure that out reasonably early on in your career, definitely go down the path of trying to become exceptional at that one thing and really trying to create value in that one area, whilst also potentially, you know, trying to translate that into other things as well. But if you were like me, where, you know, you didn't really figure that out initially, then I think it's important to experiment with different things, obviously within reason and, you know, making sensible choices, until you get to a point where you actually start figuring out what you're good at. And what the world needs. And I'm not going to give too much away now, but there's an interesting framework that we present in the book on how to actually understand how to get to the sweet spot of four different dynamics when you're looking at that. And once you figure that out by perhaps considering that framework, to really try and explore how you can truly become an expert in that area.
Thanks, Yusuf. That's a very interesting tip. And of course, people can read more in the book. And then there is another chapter in the book that's dedicated to networking. So how important is it to build a network in order to be successful in the corporate world? And then probably the most important question here is, how do we build that network from scratch? So Yusuf, could you tell us more about that?
Look, I mean, I think it's an important, perhaps an essential component of a corporate career. It's really, you know, your success is a function of really what you know and who you know. It's so important to have the right people, the influential people, the decision makers, know and understand your story and be able to, you know, sort of create openings for you whilst at the same time, you know, you also adding value to their sort of journeys in some way, shape or form. What I would caution, though, is to understand the distinction between, you know, knowing people and expecting them to do things and actually being able to add value by virtue of you doing good, meaningful, value adding work. So as a prerequisite to really building that network, you need to first be a value adding member of the team. You need to be good at what you do. You need to be able to create tangible value for the business or organization that you are part of. And off that platform, then connect with people, engage with people, and, you know, build this network of professionals and perhaps like-minded and also slightly different-minded people who are prepared to assist you, and you can assist as well, to try and move together in a more sort of like progressive direction. Now, in order to do that, I mean, it's whilst there are certain processes or tactics that one can employ, it really comes down to you as an individual expressing your individual personality. Some of us are more, for want of a better word, introverted than others and are less inclined to put themselves out there and really talk to people and, you know, perhaps not ideally suited to that, while some of us are, you know, find that easier to do. And the truth of the matter is you need to find a style that's true to you. That said, there are some you know, prerequisites, or rather I would say, you know, just general things that you can do. And one I found to be extremely powerful is to connect with people over LinkedIn. So, you know, finding people within an area or a profession that you either find yourself in or that you have an interest in, connecting with them over LinkedIn, dropping them a note, and really just trying to engage in conversation. A pro tip that I'd share is, you know, it's less about maybe asking people for direct assistance and maybe initially putting yourself out there asking for advice. I think everybody in some way, shape, or form wants to try and, you know, provide that advice. So that's a good way to get in. So LinkedIn is definitely an important and very functional conduit mechanism that can be used to build a network. The second point is, you know, on a more personal basis is, you know, find opportunities to just chat to people, you know, in your organization. And obviously that would mean that you're spending time in the business, and whilst working from home can have its perks, you know, it's obviously going to be a lot harder to do. But yeah, when you are in the office, find opportunities to chat to people, whether it's over lunches, coffees, in the foyers, corridors, whatever it is, you know, just try and be somebody who's prepared to have those conversations. And slowly but surely, you know, that network of people that you've connected with, spoken to, and had some level of interaction with starts to grow. And you kind of then start really focusing on the relationships where, you know, there's alignment of values, there's alignment of on, you know, where you're heading in terms of your career, so on and so forth. So yeah, I know I've given quite a bit there, and I hope that I've managed to land the points. But I think, you know, just to sum it up, it's an essential component of your corporate career is building their network. And again, some of the tactics that I've spoken to right now can definitely help, but there's a lot more in the book that I think can add a lot of value to.
Yeah, I really like the idea of LinkedIn networking, because I know a lot of people find it very difficult to go into a room for strangers and talk with them and network. So doing it one-on-one on LinkedIn might seem much less daunting and might be a great starting point. So, all right, so once we land a corporate job, there are other obstacles that come our way. One of them being having to deal with difficult characters, such as the micromanager, the chaotic colleague, or yeah, there are many other characters that we could encounter. So, Matt, how can we deal with those difficult characters at work? And most importantly, what should we do if it turns out that we are that difficult person?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I think in work settings, you come across a really broad and diverse set of characters. And of course, nobody's the same. But I think everybody at some stage is going to come across people that they don't work well with. And, you know, we describe these as just, you know, difficult characters. And, you know, we suggest some different types. But I think the point is that very often some of these difficult personalities actually end up taking up managerial positions. And that's often because they're the type of people who are sort of maybe a little bit ruthless and get things done. And sometimes that means they get appointed ahead of others into management positions. And also, I think even if there aren't too many of them around, they just kind of feel a bit more present because they take up more airtime. And the way they carry themselves in organizations mean it's sort of they just feel more present than others might. Anyway, so what we suggest are a couple of things. I think the first one is actually just to, as much as possible, try and understand the context of the person. So what it is that's driving their behavior, what pressures do they feel? And then the advice around that is, no matter what's going on around you, always stay professional. Don't fall into the trap of rising to the challenge or rising to the game that's been presented to you. Just keep it cool, calm, and collected as much as that's possible. So the first bit of advice is understand the context and stay calm and professional. Second is to say, in the short term, there might actually be some quite constructive steps you can take to try and improve the relationship. And sometimes this just amounts to inviting the person out for a cup of coffee, telling them how you feel at a high level and asking them for a bit of advice. Very often, these type of people love giving their own advice. Funnily enough, like we're doing here today. But that can help resolve it. And then I think third is, if that doesn't help, you might need support from the organization. So look for mentors, coaches. Typically, there'll be someone in the HR part of the organization you can ask for a bit of advice, and hopefully it doesn't turn into something serious. And the last piece we say is that sometimes you might actually be a part of the problem yourself, and you might be considered a difficult person by others. I've definitely had phases in my career where I've interacted with people I've perceived to be really difficult and sort of struggled with that. And I've also got no doubt that there have been phases in my career where other people have perceived me as being quite difficult. And so our last piece of advice, and maybe this has also been a bit of self-reflection for me, is just to check yourself and to ask for feedback from those around you, because you'll play different roles at different stages in your career. And I think it's really important to have the self-awareness and the open philosophy to collect and elicit feedback from those around you.
Yeah, thank you for sharing those tips. I think it's very useful, because I think we've all encountered some difficult characters at work. But the next thing that I want to discuss with you is about enjoying the journey towards building a successful career. Because, yeah, you mentioned in the book that it's very important to really enjoy yourself while we are doing that, because building a career is a difficult task and there are a lot of things that you need to navigate. Yeah, we already mentioned education, building a network, becoming an expert, dealing with different characters. So yeah, there's quite a lot of difficult stuff going on. So it's really important to enjoy yourself. So Yusuf, could you share with us some strategies to make sure that we're really enjoying ourselves while climbing that career ladder?
Yeah, so actually, you know, when I wrote this chapter in the book, I was kind of reflecting on, you know, how relevant it may be, because it takes a bit of a philosophical approach almost in considering not just your career per se, but really trying to understand how that career fits into your broader life and your broader aspirations. And I think, you know, fundamentally what I was hoping to land with this chapter was really trying to express that your career, whilst it is a crucial, you know, component of your life, it is actually just one component of your life. And it's so important to ensure that other aspects of your life also have a level of balance and equilibrium with the pursuit of that career, and that, you know, you're not necessarily, you know, sacrificing your relationships on a sustained basis. You're not sacrificing your health. You're not sacrificing any of your other personal interests, you know, for any extended period of time, because what you may find down the line is that you've amassed, or you have this corporate success and there's other areas of your life that are severely lacking. And for all intents and purposes, that would create a great amount of discontent and unhappiness in life. So I think with this chapter, I was trying to convey the importance of maintaining perspective as you go through your journey. Again, you know, trying to get you to step back sometimes when things inevitably are not going to go your way, how to think about, you know, decisions that you may need to take in order to get things back on track. And yes, ultimately understanding that, you know, as things don't necessarily go your way in the short term, over the longer term, things generally have a tendency to work out. And, you know, with that, it's again maintaining that perspective and having that fortitude and that grit and that patience to actually allow things to play out in that way, whilst at the same time, obviously, making the right efforts toward those ends. So yeah, it's really just, you know, a means of you know, bringing an end to a very practical guide. I actually, as much as I think, you know, we provide some really practical tips on how to go about navigating the corporate career. But at the end, you know, really just trying to bring it back into a life perspective and understanding the importance of just enjoying life and really just being, you know, understanding that your corporate career needs to give you happiness and contentment and peace. And at any point, you know, if it's not doing that on a sustained basis, to really just come back to first principles and try to understand what you need to do within your life to actually get back to that space of where you enjoying things again.
Yeah, I really like that chapter in the book, because quite often we hear, especially on social media, business people and business leader telling you how hard you need to work, but we rarely hear them saying that we need to be enjoying ourselves and enjoying ourselves outside of work as well. So yeah, that's why I really liked it, and thank you for sharing those strategies, Yusuf. And now I would like to discuss with you probably the hottest topic nowadays, which is AI. And we know that, especially since ChatGPT came around, people have been talking about whether AI is going to be a threat to people's jobs or whether it could be a useful helper. So what's your take on that? What role will AI play in the corporate world? Matt, let's start with you on this one.
I mean, even I go back and forth on this, and I think Yusuf probably knows a little more. Look, I mean, artificial intelligence has actually been around for some time. What it amounts to is a set of algorithms that are taking huge amounts of data and using that to aggregate answers or aggregate information that might result in written text, that might result in pictures or videos, whatever the case is. But it's a set of formulas that are aggregating stuff and summarizing it well. I think it's going to be very useful. There are already a huge set of applications and corporate settings, and there's a massive race right now about who can convert those applications into the sort of most value-creating ways for organizations. So I think there's a lot of good to come from it. If anything, I think it'll free up space for people to focus on their big value-creating differentiators. And it will also increase the importance of emotional intelligence and our ability to drive relationships, build networks, because I still think fundamentally that's going to be a really critical part of business. But Yusuf, I don't know if you agree with all of that.
Absolutely, Matt. I mean, I think, you know, we need to remember at the end of the day that AI is a tool. It is at a very basic and rudimental level. It is a tool. Yes, it is an immensely powerful tool, arguably one of the most, or if not the most powerful tool that we've ever created. But ultimately, you know, it lies and exists in the hands of human beings. And the outcomes are, to a large extent, defined by how we choose to use this tool. I think, you know, when it comes to the impact that it would have on professional careers, undoubtedly, yes, it will have an impact. I do think that there will be a level of disruption where jobs that, you know, typically involve, as Matt pointed out, you know, data analysis and pattern recognition would likely be disrupted quite quickly in the short term. But with the disruption of some jobs, there'll be the emergence of others as well. To what extent that balances out remains to be seen. I would sort of philosophically encourage people to view it positively, even though there is perhaps the potential for it to go very wrong when placed in the wrong hands. But at this sort of nascent stage of generative AI, it really is a fantastic opportunity for us to use this tool and augment our capabilities to enhance the things that we can do, and really use it as a leverage point to, you know, extend our productivity in ways that we perhaps couldn't do just as recent as 6 months ago. So, you know, I think in summary, I'm extremely excited about it. Yes, I am also, conscious of the fact that it can go wrong should it be placed in the wrong hands, and should there be, some devious intentions that some may have to use it, for un sort of satisfactory ends. But for the most part, I see it as being a positive force, and it's one that we should definitely try and learn to embrace and use in any which way that we can.
Well, it's very encouraging to hear such a positive point of view when it comes to AI. All right, and then my final question for you would be to share, each of you, to share top three tips for navigating a successful corporate career. So, Yusuf, let's start with you.
For me, I think, the three most important things that I would encourage people to remain conscious of as they commence and really get going in their careers at the outset, is to embrace your challenges with an optimistic mindset and look for opportunities to grow personally and professionally wherever they present themselves. And, optimism is not something that comes naturally to people, as, some may think. It's a habit. It's something that you cultivate, and it's something that you teach yourself to do. Everything is a matter of perspective. Whatever happens to you in your life, it's a matter of how you choose to perceive it and how you choose to respond to it. So learn to perceive things in a positive and optimistic way is probably the first thing that I would say. The second thing I would say is to cultivate a genuine interest and, hopefully passion for what it is that you do, and let that drive and let that be the engine that drives you forward toward success in your career. It's so important to, find things that we're genuinely curious about and genuinely interested in, because over the long term, ultimately, it's what, we like and feel competent and interested in that's actually going to sustain the journey over the long term. And I think for me, the last point is again, looking at your career within a broader context of your life, and understanding that, again, it is one part of your life. Yes, it is an important part of your life, but there are times where it's definitely going to be demanding, and it's definitely going to stress you out, and, you're going to be questioning your existence perhaps. But remember that there are other parts of your life as well. There are your relationships, there's your health, there's the things that you do for fun and enjoyment, whatever they are. And I would encourage you to be very deliberate about carving out time to do those things as well, because by re-energizing yourself, in doing those things, and again, spending time with other people and investing in your relationships, you actually sort of like invest into your ability to do your job better. Those are probably the three for me.
It's funny because I was actually writing out some of these answers earlier today, and Yusuf and I didn't get to align on some of these final questions, but my answer is kind of scary. It sounds actually very similar. But the three things I think are for me to approach your education and your work with energy and positivity. I think that's sometimes a hard thing to do because of the many challenges that you face. But you're able to keep a positive mindset and be curious and have a genuine passion and interest in the stuff you're doing, that's going to be helpful, provided that you're able to convert that energy and that passion into something that's really value additive to a business. And that's where you've got to make really pressure test that what you're doing adds value to the business you're involved in. Second, I would say, as your career progresses, you don't need to feel rushed. 3 or 6 months here and there isn't going to make a great difference in the greater scheme of things. And when you're looking to sort of progress in advance, ask for advice, seek the counsel of your peers and those who are slightly ahead of you, because it'll really help set the right frame. And then finally, I would say you've got to make it work for you. And, you know, as you just pointed out, this is just another part of your life. I think that earlier on, you do kind of have to accept that this is going to be a big part of your life. You've got to put the hours in, the effort, and you've got to show up in the right way as someone who's really committed and dedicated to the work. But I think that as time goes on, and as you develop, you know, status as an expert, you're more free and able to sort of really make it work for you and build it into the rest of your life. It is about balance. And I think that as time goes on, you've got a greater opportunity to really sort of make it work for you and make sure that it's consistent with all the other things that are really important that you want to do that make a really good life for you. And those are going to be different for different people, but just take it with a pinch of salt, because your career is important, but it's definitely not everything.
Well, thank you very much for sharing those tips. I think they're very useful. And of course, I would recommend to everyone listening to us at the moment to buy the book and read more of your insights and tips and guidance in there. But thank you very much, Matt and Yusuf, for taking the time today to speak with me. It was a very good conversation. I really enjoyed it. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having us here. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you, Taylor. Thanks, Yusuf.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and thanks everyone for listening. Don't forget to keep an eye on our social media at Lit Publishing on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and at Lit Business Media on LinkedIn for more information about new books and podcasts with thought leaders. We are now also on TikTok, so make sure you follow us at Lit Publishing. See you next time on Lit Radio Podcast.